Hollywood executives terrorizing assistants is such a cliche that YouTube offers supercuts of Entourage character Ari Gold firing them.
You're finished. Go. You're f***ing fired.
You're fired. And in case your ears are f***ed, get the f*** out!
Let me tell you something. You don't have to say anything. You know why? Because you pick up all your stuff because you're mother f***ing fired.
According to assistants who are now speaking out, that kind of abuse happens. And meanwhile, they're contending with rising costs, low wages, and increasingly bleak prospects for advancement. If you're on Hollywood Twitter, you may have seen assistant horror stories shared in recent weeks with the hashtag PayUpHollywood. The creator of that hashtag is Liz Alper. Her days as an assistant are behind her. She's now a TV writer who's worked on shows including Chicago Fire and The Rookie. But she hasn't forgotten what her life used to be like. And she's hoping future generations won't have to endure what she did. When Alper came to the studio recently, she was accompanied by Joelle, who's still working as an assistant and asked us not to use her last name for fear of retaliation. Alper said the creation of her hashtag was inspired in part by an episode of the Script Notes podcast hosted by writers John August and Craig Mason.
So John August had been asking for different stories from assistants about workplace abuses, low pay, what assistants were facing in this day and age. And this has been a topic that I've been passionate about for years. As someone who's mixed race, who came from not the wealthiest background, it was something that I've been noticing in the last 10 years where that there seems to be a paywall enacted around Hollywood that is keeping out diverse candidates who might come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds who can't afford to work these assistant jobs. So this was something that when John and Craig decided to do a series of episodes on it, I went to Twitter just explaining what my experience had been and, you know, trying to empower the assistants to share what they'd been going through.
You had a hashtag.
I had a hashtag because I'm
currently hashtag, not past tense hashtag.
Yes, I do have a hashtag. I'm a millennial in that way, but it's hashtag PayUpHollywood. And what that did was organize these stories into one cohesive thread. And I keep looking at Joelle because she's been someone that I've been talking to for months about the things that assistants have been facing.
So Joelle, you are now an assistant.
I am currently an assistant, and I've been assisting for going on 15 years now. You know, it was this pay your dues mentality that this was supposed to be a job that you're only doing for a couple years. And that was kind of why you sustained the low wages and the horrible working conditions in some cases. But again, there are some of us that now have been doing it for a long time, and my rate has only marginally improved in the past 10 years, regardless of experience.
So Liz, how long were you an assistant before you moved on?
So I was an assistant for about 8 years, and I'm now a professional television writer. I've been working as a television writer for the last 5 years. I was still an assistant longer than I've been a working TV writer. And currently I was elected to the WGA board of directors. And one of the points that I kept campaigning on is making sure that we don't let people fall through the cracks. And that extends to the people who aren't in the WGA. That's assistants everywhere. That's not just the writer assistants and the script coordinators, but the agency assistants and the network assistants and anyone who has worked as support staff, because this is a problem that everyone is facing. It is industry-wide.
And it's the same situation, right?
Yeah.
No overtime, crazy hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine, maybe, well, you can, like having to say no. I mean,
And I think especially when you're starting out in this business, you're not empowered to say no because you just feel like this is what you're supposed to do. And hopefully by paying your dues at the end of it, it will lead to a staff writer job or a better position. So that's tough. The writers' assistants and script coordinators did unionize a couple years ago. We joined IATSE 871. And
this is a stage and theater, IA.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You know, and that has certainly helped that group. We're nowhere where we want to be in terms of wages and benefits, but that only extends to writers' assistants and script coordinators. There's a whole other slew of assistants, showrunners' assistants, PAs, who are the most vulnerable.
This is production assistants on sets.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That still are getting taken advantage of.
Joelle, I'm sure you've experienced this in the past, not at your current position, but in past ones where when I was a writer's assistant on House, it was my first writer's assistant job. Everyone was very nice. All of the writers were very nice. But there was a binder on my desk that I don't think anyone had realized was there. And it was a 5-inch binder that was packed to the brim. And I opened it up and it was just filled with resumes for the job that I had just received for the writer's assistant job.
It was a warning.
It was a warning. Yeah. An unintentional one because these were very nice people. But the saying of there is always going to be someone to take your job, that was solidified in this binder. For me, there were instances where I was paying for things out of pocket and not telling anyone that I was having to do that.
Like what?
Oh, so we had a lunch fund where writers would put in money and I would use that to buy lunch every day.
For the group, yeah.
Yeah, for the room. Sometimes some writers would run low. And one writer who hadn't paid in a while was suddenly fired off the show. And he was 100 in the hole. And I was so embarrassed to tell anyone that I hadn't collected the money before that he left that I took $100 out of my own pocket and I put it into the lunch fund to cover it because I felt I had screwed up. So it was stuff like that where if I was in a hard position, it wasn't that the showrunner wasn't nice. I love David Shore and I ended up working for him for 3 years. But it was just the idea that if I make someone's life a little harder, maybe they'll go to one of these 1,000 resumes in this binder and hire them. And I've lost my shot at one day becoming the writer I want to be.
Yeah. Well, so just staying with that for a second, what's the right way? I mean, is it just that these guys should be decent and pay the freaking lunch fund? Or is putting it on you, but is the best we can do in this situation saying, you guys should be conscious of this and not short us on this fund? Or is there some other way to say, by God, pay up before I have to do it? Like, do you have ideas about how that should work?
Yeah, actually, I think what needs to happen is it's a case-by-case basis, but it starts when there's conversation. Anyone who employs an assistant should be going to the assistant and getting a very clear picture of what that assistant is going through. And that's been one of the big aspects of Pay Up Hollywood is that we're trying to educate.
It's consciousness raising.
Exactly.
But with that binder sitting on the desk with all the names of people who will do the job, is there still not fear? I mean, Joelle,
of course there's fear. And that's why we've been in this position for as long as we've had. But, you know, the more that writers and showrunners and people that are in power get involved, eventually trickling to the studios, I think that fear will eventually go away and people will be more enabled to speak up.
For example, showrunners who are now in the know of what assistants are facing, they're the ones who are speaking up to business affairs saying, this is not acceptable. You do not come after my assistant for lunch overages or any sort of overages. You do not ask them to pay for anything out of their own pocket. If you have an issue, you come to me. And by standing up and saying to an assistant, you're not alone in this. If anyone tries to come after you, I am going to be there and I am going to say something on your behalf because they may think that it's okay to go after you because you're the lowest on the totem pole. But if every single writer in our writer's room is saying, you mess with them, you're messing with all of us, all of a sudden that assistant is empowered to be able to say, these are the abuses that I'm facing. These are the things that are going on. And it's tough because on the other hand, there are some assistants who are in positions where the showrunner or their direct boss is the person who is.
Yeah. I mean, I've covered this business for a while and dealt with people who are awful. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's always, there are always going to be good people and then there are always going to be god-awful, terrible people.
Yeah.
But I think what happens right now is that there are people in power rising up and saying, we're not just going to stand for our assistant, we are going to look at this as though this is a systematic change that needs to be enacted in order to, one, make sure that the next generation of Hollywood assistants aren't burnt out and broke by the time that it's time for them to take up the mantle, but also that we're ensuring that the future of Hollywood, we're not saying you have to come from a specific financial background in order to make it in this industry.
Coming up after a short break, Pay Up Hollywood hashtag creator Liz Alper shares some assistant horror stories she's read on Twitter. You're listening to The Business from KCRW. This is The Business and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking to TV writer Liz Alper, creator of the hashtag PayUpHollywood, a move to get Hollywood assistants paid a living wage. She's joined by Joelle, who's currently a script coordinator on a network TV show, but who doesn't want us to use her last name. PayUpHollywood has conducted a recent survey of assistants and support staff, and at a recent town hall, Alper shared some of what emerged from more than 1,000 responses. Almost 63% of assistants who took the survey said they made less than $50,000 a year. More than 67% said they had to take on second jobs outside the entertainment industry to supplement their income. Nearly half of the assistants who responded said they were receiving financial help from their parents. It used to be, you know, you could be, I mean, if you look at some of the biggest names in this industry, Jeffrey Katzenberg, David Geffen, Barry Diller, these people didn't go to college at all. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, to be an assistant, I think it's assumed that you're going to have a college degree at least, right?
I think it's required.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely required to have a college degree. So there are assistants who are coming in already saddled with upwards of $40,000 to $50,000 in student loan debt. And then you add on the expenses that come with simply having that job. If you're a writer's assistant, you have to know what's on television. So you have to have a cable subscription and you have to have the streaming subscriptions. If you are working at an agency, you have to
you
dress
better
the
dress.
Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So you might be spending upwards of $200 a month out of your base salary.
Well, I would consider that conservative based on what
that
is
very
incredibly
conservative,
costs. Incredibly conservative because it has to be.
And speaking to that, I mean, I will say too, I think that there's, aside from the student loan debt, I'm incredibly lucky. I went to a state school, so I didn't have student loans. But I do think that that is part of the reason that I've been able to work for almost 15 years as an assistant. If I had that extra expense on top of everything else, there's no way I would have been able to afford it. As it is, the other thing is during hiatus on TV shows, I'm not getting an income, you know, anything that I would get from unemployment or money that I'd saved, that's just going to just rent, which is, you know, $1,400 a month. Everything else is going on my credit card. Since I've been working in this business, I've consistently had probably $10,000 worth of credit card debt. Oof. And that seems to be the norm amongst people that I've
that
talked
is
to.
Like money cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with the interest rates that they charge.
But that's, it you really know, is, in order to get the clothes that you need or go to the dinners that the writers are going to, that's the burden that you take on.
Yeah. And we're also, I mean, we're lucky because we also don't have family members that we need to take care of financially.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of candidates who would be wonderful writers, amazing network execs, and they can't even get their foot in the door because their financial obligations are to their family.
I'm a parent now. And I mean, you know, I have a toddler, and which is amazing. But one big fear of my husband and I when we decided to have a family was, how are we going to do this with the long hours, with, you know, the minimal paycheck? I'm able to do it because I do have, you know, a husband. But even still, I talk to so many parents that want to break into the business and want to start as an assistant. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I have very understanding showrunners that are lenient with my schedule. Not a lot of them are. And so even those people that, you know, parents that want to break into the business, there's not a lot of opportunity for them.
So I assume that your hashtag and the whole effort between Craig Mazin and John August, and all credit to them for caring.
Yes, very much
and
so.
Doing more than just sitting there and saying, this is terrible. You've gotten flooded with stories, I assume. And I don't know whether you, Joelle, have a particular story that's like, this is in a nutshell how awful. I mean, all of what we've been talking about is not good, but is you know, what are the horror stories that really stick with you guys?
I mean, I think, you know, after a while, all this stuff starts to take a real emotional toll. There's so many levels of abuse, too, of being promised certain jobs and working for free. And I mean, I think part of this conversation also started with someone had asked about have assistants had things thrown at them.
Right.
And
I'll just say the name Scott Rudin. And
And, you know, I have had a stapler thrown at me. I've had markers thrown at me. I had my own high heel taken off at a party and thrown for me to fetch.
Not so, in fun, but in creepiness?
No. In a very it was not fun for me, I will say that.
Why would someone do that?
That goes to the culture of that there is a reminder of you are not treated equal as the rest of us here.
Yeah, you're not a person.
You're not a person. There are a million of you lining up to take your job. You don't deserve the respect. You don't deserve the pay. And I think that that is really what people are rallying against right now.
Do you have one for us that, that sticks with you? Not necessarily your own story or your own story, depending.
No, there are so many. I mean, this has been a very difficult few weeks because we've had thousands of stories submitted, and there are some great ones. There are some real champion bosses out there. And a lot of them, I mean, when you said stapler in my head, that I kind of went, yeah, that's the number one item that apparently gets thrown at assistants.
We need somebody to design like foam staplers.
Yes, yes.
Or just not throw them.
That is absolutely the better idea.
It was really disheartening because there was one day where I had roughly 50 stories and they were all from different parts of the industry. And they were like, yeah, I've had a stapler thrown at me. I've had a chair thrown at me. I made them angry. And it just kind of showed that there is this abusive nature that is prevalent, that's been forgiven because it's part of the work culture. It's part of paying your dues. But I think the stories that stuck with me the most were the ones that assistants would discuss being pressured to not put down overtime. And the stories that where it was the HR departments telling the assistants, well, why don't you have parents that can help you out financially? Well, don't you know that this is how it works in this industry? Do you really want this job if you're not going to take it for $450 a week? Like, do you really want to be here? It broke my heart because it's people who are preying on the most hopeful people in this industry and using that hope and that desire to do well against them, to manipulate them and undercut their wages. And so it's a culture of fear that's kept people in low paying wages who made them feel as though they're frozen and that they can't do anything. And that's what we want to change. That's what Deirdre, who's my Pay Up Hollywood cohort, she and I have been desperate to get people to understand that this cannot be the way that we conduct business in Hollywood any longer if we want to ensure that this industry will last beyond us. This is a cannibalistic way of treating people because you are running assistants and you are running people into the ground and you are ensuring that we will not have a next generation of Hollywood execs who did not already come from previously wealthy backgrounds.
I mean, one of the questions in my mind is why now? And I would think in part, maybe the Time's Up movement inspired some of the anger. Like, why are we? Because Time's Up starts out with egregious sexual abuse, like Harvey Weinstein, allegedly, and ends up with abuse.
Yeah.
I certainly think that that's the case. You know, I think once you see people speaking up about other issues, it enables you to start speaking up and share your own stories. It certainly has been the case for me personally.
And also, I think the internet gives and takes away because one of the reasons that assistants are so squeezed right now, I would think, and there's no movement, is because the industry itself is going through this very difficult transition. You know, a lot of the opportunity. And I mean, if you're Ryan Murphy or Shonda Rhimes, the opportunity is absolutely great. But if you're not, everybody else in the middle and lower ranks is like squeezed. So the assistants therefore get squeezed. Yep. But the internet, I would think, also is a reason why you guys find each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the ability to foster a community without actually having met in person, but still find the people who are going through the same things that you're going through and hearing that, oh, I'm not crazy. This didn't just happen to me.
I feel like something big is starting here.
I think so.
Yes. Writer and former assistant Liz Alper is the creator of the hashtag PayUpHollywood. And Joelle is now a script coordinator on a network TV show. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Paul Smith. You can subscribe to The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts at kcrw.com/podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.